When All Is Said and Done, written by Neil Danaher with Warwick Green, and read by David Tredinnick. Is this it? Is this how it ends? Slumped in a nondescript chair in the emergency ward of a Canberra public hospital, watching the thin red hand on the clock face ticking down the seconds to 6 a.m. I can't breathe. For the thousandth time tonight, I feel like I'm choking for air, like I can't draw any oxygen into my lungs. It feels like those panicky moments after someone crashes into your ribs on a football field and you curl up on the turf, winded, your mind scrambling to make sense of what's happening to you. But this is different to a few harrowing seconds in the hands of the trainers. I've been stranded like this for hours, propped up here on this chair throughout the night. The sun is starting to creep above the horizon. I can't remember the last time I was up until dawn. It was probably back in my university days, playing cards on a table cluttered with little piles of $1 bills and long necks of Melbourne bitter. But now I'm plunked here in the emergency ward with tubes up my nostrils, staring at a flimsy blue plastic curtain and a toilet that's tantalisingly out of reach. Whenever the percentage of oxygen in my lungs drops below a certain level, the machine I'm hooked up to begins beeping like it's telling the nurse in a TV drama that the patient is in real trouble. I'd tried to clamber onto the bed next to me to lie down, but it had only made matters worse. I can't sleep. Now all I can do is sit here, helpless, watching the clock, hoping that life will get better, when I know it's inevitably going to get worse. This whole experience feels like a trailer for an upcoming feature film, and I don't even want to play my role in the show when my time comes. I could definitely do without this dress rehearsal. The seconds keep loudly ticking away, and my mind is working overtime. I'm thinking about my family, about my wife, Jan, and my beautiful children, Lauren, Luke, Rebecca, and Ben, and all of the gleaming memories they've given me. I'm thinking about their futures, and about how there will be grandkids I will never get to know. How will those kids picture their grandpa in their imaginations? Will I be more than their grandfather who died of a cruel, incurable disease? Will my grandkids wonder what kind of man their grandfather was? Will they wonder what he believed in? I'm not fussed about what they will make of my time as a footballer or an AFL coach, or even as a campaigner for motor neurone disease. I don't care about a legacy, but I do care about what kind of people they'll grow up to become. I wish I could be there to help them make their way in the world, but I won't have the chance. I would have given anything to wrap an arm around those grandkids as they sat on my knee. There are things I'd love to pass on to them, life learnings I would have enjoyed sharing.